4WHN. My name is Mark. I'm mobile. Good morning.
N4ZLK, mobile. Shane here.
Hey, Shane, it's a lovely day for a cloudy day.
You're trying to break through up here. Just changed the oil in my truck, and I'm running the used oil over to the recycle place. Get rid of all the evidence.
I used to do that myself, and then I realized I didn't enjoy doing that. But if the price of oil changes keep going up, I might have to get back into it.
I thoroughly enjoy it, but I enjoy it better than thinking about what the guy at the little pull-through store, what he missed or didn't do right. So at least I know. I actually messed up the other day. A few weeks ago, last time I changed my wife's oil, I guess I didn't screw the cap down tight. And she said, she drove it to work the next day and said, the engine sounded a little different, sounded a little louder. And she got home and there was oil all over the inside of the engine compartment.
That's not a good day, but at least she said something so you could intervene and get it cleaned up and get it fixed. My favorite stories are the women that go, yeah, and started making that noise late last year.
What I appreciate about Beth, even though I tell her to stop, is she hears sounds. She doesn't know what it is, but she knows when it's different. She's always finding little things. But I'm glad, though. And I would have noticed because there was oil dripping all over the garage floor when she got home, too. So fortunately, we didn't lose enough to do any damage. But that's the first time I've done that, and I've changed the oil since I was a teenager. So it's been a few years. But I guess at least I caught it, and there's always a first time for everything.
Most of us don't have a checklist for the oil change, so that's bound to happen at some point.
My son, one time, he was changing the starter on his car, and it was in my garage. And he'd gotten it changed, got everything back together, except it was still up on the jacks. And I was like, well, I'll just go ahead and put the tire on for him. And I got distracted, and I put the lug nuts on, but I didn't tighten them down like I always do when I drop it down. I mean, I've rotated my tires. Taught them all how to rotate their tires, and I always tighten the lug nuts up, drop it down, and then torque them down. And a couple months later, he said, Dad, my car feels funny. I was backing out of my driveway. It feels funny. And went over there, and sure enough, every one of those lug nuts was loose.
I was going to say, I thought it was the nut behind the wheel that was loose.
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Shane. I just couldn't help myself. I'm sorry.
If you were out there, it was coming. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say at least the lug nuts were still on the bolts, so you could bring them back in. That's hopefully none of them got damaged in the interim. But yeah, that's not hard to do either.
Trying to make sure I double check, but I guess when you start getting old as Dave, you start forgetting things.
It's uncalled for, but still funny.
Who is that? What?
Morning, Dave. I'm pulling in here. I'll jump out for a minute. You two carry on and talk about me. N4ZLK.
Good to hear you in there, Shane. KP2HXS. Go ahead, Mark.
You off doing something fun.
I'm sorry about that. Have a good day, Shane. Thank you. And we'll certainly talk about you. Go ahead, Mark.
I said this is Mark, KQ4WHN. I was asking if you were doing something fun today or if you had to work.
A little bit of both. A little bit of both. We're heading down to that indoor flea market down here in Greenville. Then I'm waiting for my car to be finished up in the... getting so a little minor work done, a little touch-up work here and there, some stuff at the paint shop in Inman. Just getting a few things done, nothing major. And then I got a few things I got to do this afternoon with a couple of customers.
A busy bee, sir. Every time I hear you on the radio, you're back and forth between customers. So I'm glad to hear you keeping yourself out of trouble.
Well, that's not necessarily true. And I'm sure Shane can contest to that. No, I... I try and do is really try and work around my customer schedule as well. Today I got to hang a couple of thermostats. One of my customers wanted Wi-Fi thermostats. I said, well, I don't provide those, but if you want the Wi-Fi thermostats, you go get them, and I'll put them up.
Integrate them into their Wi-Fi network and program?
Generally, I don't do that, because you have to download the app on the phone and everything, and usually I leave that up to the customer. I'll get it wired. I'll get the thermostat programmed to the system that's in the house, whether it's a gas system or heat pump. And then basically they're responsible to hook up to their Wi-Fi with their codes and everything.
Good boundary to set. I'm proud of you.
I'm not computer savvy, you know, when it comes to that kind of stuff. I'll get the system running correctly and get everything right, and then they can take it from there.
The number of thermostats that I've seen that are actually just little computers running on the wall with sensor connections and all sorts of different things, it reminds me a lot of the IT stuff that I've dealt with in the past. I think you can claim a little more computer savvy than you say.
Well, you're right in the sense where I kind of limit myself and kind of, you know, get to a certain point and say, okay, it's all yours. But no, what I try and do is I try and stay away from the units that have 1,000 sensors in them. You know, indoor sensor, outdoor sensor, this sensor, that sensor, because it becomes more of a problem down the line. If one of those sensors should fail, it could potentially shut the system down. Then I gotta come in and figure out which one it is. You know, just like damper systems. I'm not a big proponent of a single unit in the house and with several floors, and you have like two or three different thermostats controlling dampers around the house. That can be problematic if you don't set the dampers correctly.
Complexity and complexity generates all sorts of problems eventually. So you have a NASA approach to HVAC, and I think that's probably the way to go about it.
Well, I try. You know, I try and steer people away from, like, damper systems. Like, I've got an install coming up the week of the 16th of March, and because of the way the original installer has put it in, it's never worked correctly. And when you damper off, like, 90% of the house to feed a small room, you're choking off the evaporator coil, especially in the summertime. You could potentially freeze that coil if you don't have enough airflow, things like that. You know, it drives me a little crazy. I'm like, why'd they do this? Anyway, Mark, I gotta run here. We're getting ready to get out the door. Yeah, perhaps I'll catch you guys in the mobile.
Travels, enjoy your weekend, and don't work too hard in the interim. Talk to you later. This is KQ4WHN, standing by.
KQ4WHN, KB2HXS. Have a good afternoon. We'll catch you later. Bye, Shane, if you hear me.
4WHN, this is KG4ZGS. Good morning, Mark.
I figured you were out there somewhere. How are you today, Chris?
Sir, I'm on my way to work. Got a pretty decent teaching day. I think I'll be teaching for 5 hours straight. So, looking forward to it, and I'm going to probably do that lawnmower maintenance I've been talking about. So I'll have a long day.
Does 5 hours turn into the number of students? Is that like 3, 4, 5?
I think it's either 8 or 9. I have to look at my list again. Most of my students are half-hour students, and I have at least one one-hour student, but I might have 2 one-hour students, so something like that.
Struggle to keep a logbook to make sure you know where everybody stands in their lessons. That would be a lot to keep straight.
I actually, for the that I taught, I actually didn't keep a logbook at all. I had a rough understanding of what each student had worked on, and I made sure the student was up on their practice as much as I could. And we went week by week, and it worked out pretty fine. But then during COVID, the studio, the main studio that I was at, shut down, and they turned to doing Zoom lessons. that just created an interesting dynamic. And at that point, I actually did start keeping a logbook. I just had a notebook, and every day I had lessons, I would number out the students and write down what we did. And then when I got back on Zoom with them the following week, I would consult the notebook and say, all right, this is what we did last week. I didn't usually have to do that when we were in person, but something about being on a screen changed things.
That was the outcome that I came to with COVID. I'd spent so much time in front of the computer that when they said, oh, we're going to give people the option to do this in person, I was the biggest cheerleader. Hey, let's get together and do this in person. Enough of the computer. Let's actually talk to people and go touch grass and all that fun stuff. And not surprisingly, everybody else was in the same mindset.
At first I had bought into all the hype, but by April of 2020, I was kind of convinced that I should go back out and start working in person again. So I did for the most part. That one studio didn't go back in person for several months. But for the most part, like, I'm self-employed, so I work in multiple places. And I definitely went back in person as soon as I could. I've got notebooks, and usually sometimes I'll go back several lessons with the students to kind of review what we've done over the past couple months or whatever, but usually I just use it as a week-to-week thing, just to reference what we worked on last week.
You know, sometimes you can kind of start working a lesson and go, oh, the dogs are howling, you don't have this yet, we need to back up a little bit. There's certain intuitive steps, I'm sure, that you take as you go through this.
Going on. How about yourself, sir? What are you getting into on a fine Saturday such as this?
Oh, I've already been wildly productive. I got my free chicken biscuit from Chick-fil-A from the app that came rolling down this week, and I've consumed that. I got my hair cut, filled the car with gas, went by and picked up a package that was delivered for me at one of the local retail establishments, and and after that, I picked up the radio, and I'm heading back to the house. So, just trying to figure out what to do with the rest of my day.
Head on, man. Well, you got a clean cut to enjoy the day with. That's good. Always feels good to get a haircut. Right on, man. Well, do you do any, are you going to be doing any yard work or anything like that today?
Mostly asleep at the moment, but in the next month or so, we'll have to get out there and start doing some stuff. I need to put some mulch down. I need to kill some weeds. My list continues to grow.
I feel that. The list sometimes can be overwhelming. You just got to start somewhere, and once you start knocking some tasks down, then it starts to feel a little bit better. I've got a bunch of stuff. I've got a fairly large burn pile that I need to take care of, and got to do my lawnmower maintenance, and my garden is currently torn apart. I've got it surrounded with hog wire fence, and I used to make my fence posts with the bamboo that's on my property. I cut it down and make my own posts, but those don't last too long, so I finally went to Home Depot and bought some steel posts, so I've got to pound those in and reaffix all that hog wire. I've got to move a bunch of dirt to get my garden ready, and I've got to do some planting of my peppers, and I've also got some blueberry seeds that I want to plant from my, I've got a blueberry orchard in my front yard, so I saved some seeds last year. I want to try that to see if I can produce a new row of blueberries. I don't know what it'll do once I plant them, and I've got some chainsaw work to do.
Well, the only thing in that list I'm qualified to do is burn things, so you're going to have a lot of fun with that, I'm sure, but rebuilding fences and going through and cleaning all that stuff up, that that does not sound like a lot of fun. I would definitely get it done before it warms up.
Yeah, the dirt moving is a lot of work, and I've got to buy some more dirt, so I've got to hook my trailer up and go to the local mulch yard and get a scoop or two. And I've never planted blueberry seeds before. I've got 36 blueberry bushes in my front yard, but I've bought them all as either starts or like full-grown bushes and planted them. Well, I shouldn't say full-grown. They're small when I plant them, but they can grow pretty massive over time. But I've never tried them from seeds first, so I don't know if I'll get a hybrid from what's in my orchard or if I'll get, you know, I have no idea. I've never tried it that way, but I've got a packet of seeds in my little bag, like a Ziploc bag of seeds in my refrigerator, because they said you should keep them cold for a few months before you try planting them to simulate winter.
It's blueberry bushes down. What you're going to have is a lot of very curious birds. We, actually, I should say my mother grew many, many blueberry bushes as part of her, I guess you would say it, residential agricultural program. And between the low-hanging berries getting picked off by the rabbits and the high berries getting picked off by the birds, we still had a fair yield, but you felt like you were under siege all the time.
Yeah, my cat loves it. He'll watch through the front window while the birds are all running around, and he'll chirp at them. It's funny. But yeah, I've got three rows of blueberries. The first two rows I bought online from a website that no longer exists. And when they sent them to me, they looked like twigs wrapped up in like wet paper. And they looked pretty bad. But I planted them, and they turned out great, actually. Those are my strongest plants. And then my third row are plants that I bought like from Home Depot or Lowe's or some combination. And they, for some reason, they have struggled to be as robust. The Home Depot plants produce berries earlier in the season, and the birds usually go after those. And then the other two rows produce a little bit later, and they're much more like cluster-like. The Home Depot plants produce small clusters or individual berries, but the other two rows produce nothing but clusters. And usually by mid-June through mid-July, I've got more blueberries than I can eat.
They're specific plants. They generate a huge number of fruit. So I guess that's the upside, is that all the flora and fauna that want to come off and enjoy them with you, even they aren't in number enough that they can outperform what the plant's able to produce. So, but you know, that's how the plant reproduces. It's able to go out there and pass its seed along through the birds' bellies, and that's the magic of nature.
So, and then the other big garden project that I want to do is I want to get my peppers planted. I like to grow hot peppers, and my favorites to grow are Scotch bonnets. And this year I'm going to try to do, I've never grafted a plant before, so I've been watching some YouTube videos on grafting onto a central plant and have a plant that produces multicolored Scotch bonnets. I don't know if the grafting process will take hold in time for them to produce peppers this year, but if I can keep that plant overwintered, then by next year it should be pretty cool to look at.
Yeah, it might be aggressive for this year, but definite shot at it next year.
Anyway, dude, that's about what I got going on. So, it's another Saturday, and the time flies by. My son grows every day, and he's starting to put together sentences. Yesterday, he said a four-word sentence, which was cool. He said, "I see the moon." We were like, whoa.
They will absolutely develop on you, which is terrifying. I think I mentioned my wife and I had triplets back in 1999, and Got one that's a year away from being a doctor, one that makes tires at Michelin, and one that's solving all the world's problems with the Greenville County School District. So it goes by in a blink. Take advantage of it while it's available, and for all that is holy, go out and get yourself a 529 program. Get started with that if you haven't already.
Mark, you must be a saint or something to have had triplets. That's a lot of diapers to change.
That was 32 per day. So if you need any hints or tips, I'm a diaper master.
Yeah, my son's in the biggest diapers they make now, and I'm looking forward to... Oh, hold on a second. That had another radio start to bust in there. So I'm not trying to cross-transmit between bands there, but, I'm hoping that he'll start to be more interested in potty training soon. That'll be a good step.
Around two these days?
Two in June, and his and my birthday are 2 days apart.
It's still a little early, but that two-year-old Mark is where you start... You start throwing them in the backyard something light and airy, usually in the summertime, and they realize that they don't enjoy that feeling, and it's outside, so it's an easy mess to clean up.
That's a good strategy. We've been thinking about, you know, how we're going to approach it and watching what other people say about it, but I like the idea of... the outside aspect of this.
Wisdom that I gained all came from folks that had potty trained all sorts of young kids, and they were many, many years my senior, and in a lot of cases had raised other people's kids, and it's like, no, you can do it in a weekend. Just put them outside in their pajamas, and when they get wet, they go, I don't like this. And then you keep reinforcing what they should do instead. And I had one grandma who potty trained one of my friend's sons over a 3-day weekend. They went on kind of a couple's trip, and they came back, and their child, I think their first daughter, was potty trained literally over a 3-day weekend. Now, girls are easier than boys, but it is possible.
Head on, dude. Well, I'll share that with my wife when I get home. Mr. Mark, I'm rolling pretty close to my job here, and whenever I park, it'll be next to the building. There's a lot of interference. I'm going to go ahead and say goodbye to you for now, sir. Thanks for chatting with me on my way to work. I appreciate talking to you as always. KQ4WHN, this is KG4ZGS, and I'll say 73's but.
Get a good start on the day, make a lot of money, and teach some people how to pull that bow across the strings and make a sound that doesn't make an evil hiss, as Charlie Daniels would say. Have a great day, sir. 73, this is KQ4 WHN, standing by.